Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
An interesting one, by the way. I never thought of it that way, in fairness. You know, Martin is right. You have to swear an oath. And can you have an oath to do two different countries at the same time? It does seem contradictory in a sense, but I suppose his argument would be, well, I'm not in the PSNI anymore. I'm now working for the Garda Síochána, so I can swear another oath. But it doesn't quite work like that as far as Martin is concerned. And some people feel very strongly about those kind of things. I don't, but Martin does, and I respect that. Now, after the break, by the way, I want to talk about electric cars. We got to move on because we spent a lot of time on that and so many people wanted to get involved. But now, former Minister for Environment Richard Bruton believes the government needs to double down on electrification as there is a call for drivers in rural areas to get larger grants for electric cars. Since 2020, just 1 in 29 cars sold in Roscommon have been electric. In Dublin, Kildare and Meath, they make up 1 in 6 and 1 in 7 new car registrations. Despite some environmental benefits to electric cars, they aren't as green as they seem to be, by the way, with the actual manufacturing of electric cars producing more emissions than that of a regular car. And I heard a story there a while ago that with an electric car, to get the benefit, the green benefit, you have to run it for at least 100,000 miles. Do you understand the point? Compared to using about 100,000 miles of fossil fuel in the production of the car. And then, of course, you have the whole argument about, you know, nine-year-olds being paid $1 a month to dig cobalt out of the ground with their bare hands just for the batteries for these cars. So there's a whole moral argument around electric cars as well. Some of the other downsides, of course, electric cars is they can't drive as far as regular cars. They're more expensive. And some mechanics have even stopped accepting them as trade-ins. And some garages won't accept them as trade-ins anymore now because they're a risk, because the battery could be gone and people just don't want to buy a second-hand electric car. Coming back to the cost, you're not just paying for the car, you have to pay for the charging ports, which is about £800 or £900. And then that could easily run you a couple of €1,000 then by the time you get everything sorted out. You can't have an electric car if you live in an apartment because you have to go and start charging it all over the place because there's no chargers unless you can find one in your apartment complex car park. And that will be shared, obviously. If you live in a terraced house, you can't run a cable across the footpath. It's just not suitable for everything. Everybody's not going to switch to electric cars. And the other thing as well, we don't have the infrastructure for it. If everybody in your housing estate tomorrow switched to an electric car, the grid would collapse because you just wouldn't have enough power. Because you have to remember, for an electric car, what is it, 8 kilowatts at least you need to charge the car at night. You can't just plug it into a 3-pin plug. Well, you can, but it takes like 4 days to charge then. And it heats up quite a lot. I tried it. With all this, I'm asking you, have you made the switch to electric cars? Do you know anyone who has made the switch? Does it make any difference? Or are they doomed? Because sales have plummeted of electric cars. My personal opinion, you know, at this stage, I believe the current model of electric cars is doomed. It was never a runner in the first place. It was something that was pushed by the Green Party. It wasn't technology that was ready yet. The idea and the inconvenience of standing, you know, for an hour in a garage waiting for it to charge is just nonsense. And we can see that because when you buy an electric car now, after 2 years, it's lost so much value compared to a diesel or petrol. The other thing is, diesel and petrol cars are now going up in price. Second hand, because people can't get as many, they're not as easy to get anymore, and people want them. They don't want electric cars. Stop pushing people into things they don't want. I want to know what you think. Have you bought an electric car? Do you think it's beneficial? Do you like it? Or are you kind of mad and trying to try and get rid of it at the moment? You can buy them for half nothing nowadays, by the way. Just in relation to electric cars, by the way, I was watching an interesting video recently by the head of Toyota, and this is obviously in Japan or Korea or wherever he's from. And he said now they're not going to be producing electric cars anymore. They're moving to hydrogen cars. And the first production hydrogen car, the engines are a bit more complicated. They are essentially combustion engines, but they use hydrogen. And the only pollution or that you get out of them, it's not pollution, it's just water coming out of the exhaust pipe. So that's a real benefit going forward. I mean, don't get me wrong, nobody wants pollution, by the way. But realistically, if you were to take every car off the road in Ireland, it's not going to make any difference to the climate. It really isn't. Let's be clear about that. The pollution, for example, Europe is 7%, or the EU is 7% of the world's pollution. Ireland makes up a tiny percentage of that. And cars in itself make up a tinier percentage of that. So realistically, it's not going to make a huge amount of difference. I feel we've been pushed into this technology, which just isn't ready yet. I mean, I think going forward, it is the future. I think electric cars are the future, but not this model of electric car. I predict, and I think many others have predicted as well, I know Elon Musk has bought a patent already from a company in Korea in relation to it, atomic cars. So in other words, an atomic fuel cell, which will be charged by laser light. So you'll drive into your Apple Green, you'll plug your gadget in just as you normally do with your diesel or petrol, and it sends a laser light down the down a fibre optic cable and charges up this atomic fuel cell in about 90 seconds. That atomic fuel cell will keep you going for 1,000 miles. It'll be the size of a small battery. That's the future. You know, I don't believe this current model of electric cars is the future. Maybe I'm wrong. Let me go to Tony. Tony, hi, how are you?
How are you, Ryan? How are you, things?
Good. Tony, do you have an electric car?
No, I don't, Niall. I have an old car, Niall. It's the Citroen C4 and it's a diesel car. I have a few years ago. And no, I wouldn't be into electric cars. I've never liked them. I don't see anything whatsoever going for them. You know, I'm in my 60s now, and as in the 70s, I was kind of big into cars when I was a kid, you know?
Yeah, yeah. We petrol head, as they used to call them, petrol heads.
Petrol head, exactly, yeah. you know, you could see with your friends what a car was, what an engine was, and, you know, and I think to go from that to electric, it kind of completely... A car isn't a car anymore, you know what I mean?
Well, no, it is. And I think we have to accept progress. Forget about the fossil fuel thing, right, and that idea. I mean, there's still loads of fossil fuel in the ground for the next 100 or whatever years. I don't know exactly what the scientists say. But here's the thing. Forget about that argument. Just as a matter of progress, engines have got better. God be with the day when you go out on a cold morning and your car wouldn't start and you'd be pulling the choke and flooding the engine and all. So, but that doesn't happen anymore. We've got better building engines. The combustion engine has got so much better. Diesel cars are much cleaner now than they ever were. When they come out first, they used to have plumes of smoke out of the back of them. Now they're clean diesel, right? So everything has got better. So progressively, the next step, probably, Tony, is that we change the engine, that, you know, the combustion engine. Just like when they moved from the steam engine to the combustion engine to the fossil fuel engine. Do you know what I mean?
I do, yeah. As you said there, you know, the diesel engines that they've been making for the last number of years, there isn't absolutely anything wrong with them. You know, where pollution is concerned, I don't think there's much difference between a modern diesel engine compared to an electric. I don't think
there's very little. You're right. There is. I mean, if you're using, you know, an AdBlue. I mean, my car is a diesel, a 2 liter diesel, but there's an AdBlue. It's called AdBlue. So I put AdBlue into the engine or into the tank as well, right? And it's very clean. There's no smoke. Very little emissions. Really low emissions. And most good diesels nowadays have really low emissions.
Yeah. No, I think the electric car. It's been forced. It hasn't worked. They've tried to force it on people. I don't think it's worked. I think people can see. I mean, they'll go back maybe 2 or 3 years ago. If I went to the supermarket, there's one space there to charge.
And to charge a car, people. Yeah.
You know, and I never see anybody use it.
There are people that have them, you know what I mean? But I feel sorry for the people who have them, because I think they're going to be stuck with old technology very soon that they won't be able to sell.
Yeah. I've kind of seen a decline now in the area where I come from in electric cars. Mm. You know, they were noticeable there a couple of months ago, maybe 2 years ago, but they're not as noticeable today. I don't think they are.
Well, there is a drop in sales. Now, there probably is more electric cars on the road in the last 2 years, but this year has seen a huge drop in sales of electric cars. People are kind of being more cautious. Let me go to Pauline as well. Thanks for that, Tony. Pauline, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. I wasn't listening in now, but I do know the topic. So I understand that it's about people buying electric cars.
Yeah, would you buy one?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. They are going, when you're a researcher or you're one of the presenters, called me earlier, they were saying the government's going to incentivize the public by giving them money towards
grants, larger grants.
Yeah, they would, of course, because they eventually want you off the road, because what it will cost for you to replace the battery that children mine for will be more than the value of a car, around 10 to 15 grand. So the last thing anybody wants to do is buy an electric car, not only for that reason, but because they can switch it off when you go outside your 15-minute, 15-minute city zone, because they're going to try and enforce that too, where you will only circulate or move within a 15-minute radius.
Now, I know people are thinking, they're saying to themselves, Pauline is going down some conspiracy rabbit hole, but she's not actually, because they have already brought in legislation in California whereby new electric cars, which are fitted with GPS and they can be controlled centrally, that they can, say, for example, control speed limits on roads. So in other words, they can flick a switch, I don't know how they manage to do it, and every electric car or modern electric car will then not be able to go over that particular speed limit. They can do these things. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. So it's not so much a conspiracy theory, but certainly something in the future. But the thing about it is, Pauline, I did get a loan of 3 electric cars there last year, the year before, and I had each one of them for a week. They are fun to drive. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
But now,
so are bumper cars,
yeah, and milk flow and milk floats. But in saying that, I couldn't be dealing with the anxiety of the battery running out all the time.
No, well, the other thing is, if let's say everybody in the village or in your district or your area or your 15-minute city living restricted area that you're not allowed to go outside, but let's say you do, they switch it off. But apart from that, it's like the thing about it is, you have to replace it in a few years' time. Well, that's not what they have planned. They plan that you won't be able to afford to replace the battery. It will be more than the value of a car probably at that time, by the time you
There's no doubt the batteries, and this is one of the big pitfalls, of course, for electric cars. The current EV model, or as they call it, the BEV, that's what it's called, the battery electric vehicle, the batteries are extremely expensive. And when they get to a point, like your mobile phone, you have your mobile phone, and as the years go on, a couple of years, the charge doesn't last as long anymore.
Well, the truth of it is, they actually just want you off the road and using public transport. There will come a time, they're trying to improve that, but it's amazing, there's a load of empty buses driving around the place. But anyhow, what will happen in time is that when it comes to replacing your battery, because the body of the vehicle will probably be okay, you won't be able to afford it. Because it would be the value of a new car and it won't be available. They'll probably put a limit. Like they will on your flying, you won't be able to leave your country. You'll have to get permission from your county council to leave your area. Now, you might consider this a conspiracy theory, but it's a fact. These things, if you look on the World Economic Forum website, they're actually going to tell you straight out what they're going to do, where you live. But let's say we all plugged in our car tonight. The whole village would go black.
It would, because you know the kilowatts that are needed to charge a whole housing estate full of electric cars, the cables that run across the poles from whatever it is, or under the ground or whatever, depending on how old your estate is, wouldn't be capable of taking that kind of power or that draw.
That just goes to prove that in the long term, you won't be able to charge. We won't all be able to charge up battery cars. And that is not their intention anyway, because they haven't put the infrastructure.
I would agree with you in that sense, because it's never going to happen. The whole population, the 2.2 million cars currently on the road in Ireland, are not going to be able to switch to electric cars because we wouldn't have the power. And here's the madness behind it, by the way. To produce the electricity for those cars, 80% of the electricity that we produce, by the way, is produced with fossil fuels.
So the whole thing seems like madness.
Okay, and I agree with you, right? In that sense, but I do believe that the petrol car and diesel car, as it stands, its days are numbered, and not just for the reasons that you've talked about, Paulina, that you think, or the fossil fuel is getting short, a shortage of fossil fuel. I just think we're getting better at producing vehicles. And I think what's going to happen is, as I said, Toyota have already looked at the hydrogen vehicle, and it'll be much more economical than petrol or diesel. Elon Musk has just bought a patent, as far as I know, for a company in Korea in relation to, you know, an atomic cell, which is a battery that will last a lot longer and will charge in seconds, using laser light. they're all possibilities for the future. It's like, do you remember when we moved from records to CDs? Mm. Right? Everybody knew the CDs were shite because they scratched too easy. They jumped all the time. They were worse than records. They were terrible. We were promised they were going to be great. But we knew they weren't going to last long. And they didn't, because they were only with us for, I don't know, a decade or two. And then all of a sudden we were into, you know, solid state MP3 players and all that kind of thing. So they weren't meant to last long. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think this is the same for this current model of electric car. It's only going to be on the road for 10 or 15 years. But the problem is we have the Green Party and we have the other, you know, the green people out there forcing us into trying to get these cars. And nobody wants the damn things.
You have your man in the Green Party, Eamon, whatever, Bob D, his name is.
Eamon Reardon, he's gone. He's over in Europe. Yeah, you got my seat.
He's asleep. That's grateful. He's asleep in the dome most of the time and he cycles.
Eamon Ryan you're talking about.
Eamon. Yeah. And he's a ganty load of security people driving behind him. It's hilarious. Listen, people, wake up. They want you off the road.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me go to Roisin as well. Roisin, hi, how are you?
Well, Niall, how are you, Stephen?
Good. Roisin, have you got an electric car?
Nope, absolutely not. And I won't be going down that road either.
Okay, why not? According to everybody, it's the business, the future, it's great, it's green, it's keeping the climate sorted and all that kind of thing.
Right, you try and explain that to three kids who have to be in three different places every day of the week, and I have to stand on the side of a car being charged and saying to them, we have to wait a half an hour before we go anywhere.
while they're punching the heads off each other and screaming in the back of the car.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, that's the reason why I don't, because I can pull into the petrol diesel station while they're in Irish dancing and fill up my car once a week, does me, and I get around for the week and I don't have to worry. Like, if I'm going out in the morning, my car has a full tank of diesel and I don't have to worry about it being plugged in or forgetting to plug it in and the inconvenience of all that.
Mm. Well, you shouldn't forget to plug it in. You'll have a charger at your house if you bought one, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, but you're not, like... We're creatures of habit here in Ireland, right?
Yeah.
I'm a creature of habit, and I will admit that.
Yeah.
There's nothing like pulling into your diesel station or into your petrol station, filling up the car, coming home, it's done.
Yeah.
It's over with. It's forgotten. You don't think about it anymore. It's sorted. I can run to Irish dance in the morning. I can run to summer camp then. I don't have to worry about it. The only time I have to worry about it is when the little red light comes on and it's like, here, we need to be refueled.
Yeah, and you can just go to the nearest garage. Whereas if the little red light comes on in an electric car, you're panicking because you're trying to find somewhere there's a charger.
But sure, there was an influencer there on Instagram a couple of weeks ago who he hired an electric car in Ireland. He drove from Donegal to Cavan. And the hassle he had getting electric points for charging, he had to tail back in some of his journey. He had to add on a half hour here. He had to add on 40 minutes there. That's not my idea.
And by the way, can I just say, and I know there are people out there within the Green Party who are saying we need to upgrade the grid, we need to put more charging points in, and they cost a lot of money to put in, by the way, a lot of money to put in. And they're saying we should be doing this. I believe we shouldn't be doing it, because I think it's a waste of money on technology that's not going to be around for very long.
No. No, it is. It's a pure waste of money. Again, it's a taxpayer again who'll suffer this again. And it's uncalled for. It's unnecessary. It really is. Like, look, for argument's sake, they tried to bring it years ago, and how much did we pay for the machines to be stored?
50 grand each or something ridiculous. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the voting machines. That's remember right.
You might get the vote with the e-voting machines, but, yeah.
Yeah, listen, you know what?
Like, when I see we don't do things proper here in this. But see, the thing is, we don't have the infrastructure here because we don't have the skills. Like, you pull into a normal mechanic now with your electric car and see how quick he'd be able to fix it.
I know, he'll look at you and scratch his head. You know, you have to go to specific mechanics if there's a problem with the electrical end of it, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's just not worth it. Like, where, God forbid, if my car was to break down in the morning, I can ring AA and go, here, look, I'm on the side of the road. They can come out with a diagnostic test and say, this is what's gone in the car. Tow it to the garage and have the car back in 3-4 days.
Well, here's the thing. My only thinking in relation to going to the garage is, or the mechanic, there's probably less things that can go wrong with an electric car. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to blow a head gasket. You know, you're not going to blow a water pump.
But you're more likely to have a fire in the car.
Oh, you are. Well, you probably are more likely. And I've seen some of the fires in electric cars, and it's not pretty.
If anything goes wrong with an electric car, the whole thing claps out and has to be towed. not towed, lifted away.
Lifted away.
And to replace one of the batteries is going to cost you anything between 10 and 15 grand. And I guarantee you they're not designed to last.
I did hear one woman on the radio there. It could have been Joe Duffy, I think, going back a couple of weeks ago. And there was one cell, like, because if people understand how these batteries work, the battery is basically the size of the underneath of the car. And if one cell is gone, which is the size of one, you know, AA battery, you have to replace the whole thing. Or so, well, she had to, anyway, that was what she was told. And it was like, you're right, 10 grand or something like that. And the car was only, it wasn't even that old. Now, they do come with warranties, but the warranty starts to go down it goes on. I have to go to break. James, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to come to you after the break. And I do apologise for leaving you sitting there. But I will come to you after the break. Pauline, thank you very much indeed. The number is 087-188-000.
And how much did we pay for the machines to be stored?
50 grand each or something ridiculous. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's like the voting machines.
That's right.
Those?
You might get the vote, the e-voting machines, but, yeah.
Yeah, listen, you know what?
Like, we don't do things proper here in this. But the thing is, we don't have the infrastructure here because we don't have the skills. Like, you pull into a normal mechanic now with your electric car and see how quick he'd be able to fix it.
I know, he'll look at you and scratch his head. You know, you have to go to specific mechanics if there's a problem with the electrical end of it, yeah.
Yeah. And like, it's just not worth it. Like, where, God forbid, if my car was to break down in the morning, I can ring AA and go, here, look, I'm on the side of the road. They can come out with a diagnostic test and say, this is what's gone in the car. Tow it to the garage and have the car back in 3-4 days.
Well, here's the thing. My only thinking in relation to going to the garage is, or the mechanic, there's probably less things that can go wrong with an electric car. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to blow a head gasket. You know, you're not going to blow a water pump.
But you're more likely to have a fire in the car.
Oh, you are. Well, you probably are more likely. And I've seen some of the fires in electric cars, and it's not pretty.
If anything goes wrong with an electric car, the whole thing claps out and has to be towed. Not towed, lifted away.
Lifted away.
And to replace one of the batteries is going to cost you anything between 10 and 15 grand. And I guarantee you they're not designed to last.
I did hear one woman on the radio there. It could have been Joe Duffy, I think, going back a couple of weeks ago. And there was one cell, like, because if people understand how these batteries work, the battery is basically the size of the underneath of the car. And if one cell is gone, which is the size of one, you know, AA battery, you have to replace the whole thing. Or so, well, she had to, anyway, that was what she was told. And it was like, you're right, 10 grand or something like that. And the car was only, it wasn't even that old. Now, they do come with warranties, but the warranty starts to go down it goes on. I have to go to break. James, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to come to you after the break, and I do apologise for leaving you sitting there, but I will come to you after the break. Pauline, thank you very much indeed. The number is 087-188-000. All right, let's get back to our electric cars. Are you a fan of them? Because the government have doubled down. Well, according to Richard Bruton, by the way, he believes the government need to double down on electrification, as there is a call for drivers in rural areas to get larger grants to kind of force them into getting electric cars, because as of yet, they're just not bothering, particularly in rural Ireland. Now, Dublin isn't great either, can I point out. Particularly this year, electric car sales have dropped. Also, the value of electric cars has dropped. People who purchased them in the last 3 or 4 years have lost more value than you would have lost on a diesel or petrol car. Diesel and petrol cars are going back up in value in the second-hand market because people seem to want them. So there is a problem with this current electric, or as they call them, the BEV, which is the battery electric vehicle. Because there's a difference. Obviously, the future might hold something different when it comes to electrification. Let me go to James, and I'll come to Shannon in a second. But James, hi, how are you?
How's it going, though?
Good. James, the electric vehicle. Look, we don't, like, the infrastructure is terrible. That's the first problem, isn't it?
Yeah, well, like, human beings are creatures of convenience.
Mm.
And if something causes us the minus, a very small inconvenience, we'll...
we're not interested. Yeah, we're not really interested. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, James. I had a loan of an XI, a BMW. I had a loan of a 5 Series electric, whatever it is, i5. I had a loan of a Tesla Model X, each of them for a week. And I really enjoyed driving them. But the anxiety of the battery running out drove me berserk. And on numerous occasions, on one occasion, actually, I drove into the Apple Green. There's only 3 fast chargers in the whole country, by the way, can I point out, in the Apple Greens on three of the motorways. And there was 2 lads on the ground fighting over who was first in the queue for the battery charger. Literally on the ground, punching the heads off each other because one said he was there before the before the other. I know.
That's a bit extreme.
But it was so inconvenient. Like when I was going up and down to Belfast at the time, it was so inconvenient that I had to keep pulling in, you know, at Dundalk at the Apple Green and sitting there and, you know, having a burger or something for 45 minutes. And by the way, that was just the 45 minutes. You might have to wait 20 minutes till the previous person has finished charging before you plug yours in. So it was just a pain.
Yeah, but like I suppose they would suit a kind of a certain individual who would probably do 200-300 kilometres a week. I think the kind of scaremongering around the cost of replacing a battery is kind of like slight bit of misinformation, because when you look at it holistically, the cost of fueling and repairing a combustion engine over a 10-year period, it actually probably costs you far greater amounts, just not in one lump sum.
Yeah, and you'll only get whatever 400,000 miles max, even on a good car, out of a fuel engine. Yeah,
No, I like combustion engines. I like race cars, etc. But like, they are really, really unreliable engines. I know they have come on in strides, but they're extremely costly. Like a set of injectors will probably set you back €1,000.
Mm-hmm.
A clutch and a dual mass flywheel easily €1,000 to €1,500. Like a yearly service, maybe €300. The cost of the fuel could be about $4,000 a year if you're an average driver. The cost to run a combustion engine annually, I think, is averaging out now, obviously with insurance, tax, and the holistic cost, about $10,500 a year.
Yeah, but you still have to pay insurance on an electric car as well.
No, of course, if you don't have to pay tax, you don't have the annual service charge, etc. And then people who kind of come at it from the child mining aspect of things, look at the amount of conflicts that are caused by oil.
Yeah.
For Christ's sake.
Yeah.
But the
whole thing about it is, we could argue about this whole conspiracy of there's no need for oil products or fossil fuel products to be as expensive as they currently are at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're a false price. A barrel of oil is actually quite cheap at the moment, probably cheaper than it was in 2008, and yet we're charging more in the forecourts for it. So a lot of it is green tax. A lot of it is the fact that there's a lack of refineries because of green policies, and big investors are not investing in refineries anymore. So we've created this kind of false economy around fossil fuels ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. The price is absolutely artificially inflated. But as a country who doesn't really have any fossil fuels, well, that we're aware of, we have very small reserves, I believe. We haven't really explored, but that's what we're told anyway. It's kind of nonsensical to be dependent on,
I think we all agree. Well, some might not. But I do believe the future is electrification. Hydrogen. Toyota think it's hydrogen.
I'd say hydrogen.
Maybe, yeah. Well, hydrogen for the time being, but even a hydrogen combustion engine is a complicated engine because it's very similar to a petrol or diesel, but it just has a little bit more to it.
Yeah, but all engines are complex in the beginning, Niall,
and then... electric is not an engine. It's just four motors.
Yeah, exactly. It's direct power delivery, unless they have instant torque, isn't it? And they also eat through tires quicker as well, I believe.
Yeah, well, that's because the weight of the car is
the weight as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, James, but the current EV model that we're seeing on the streets at the moment, do you believe people are wasting their money on them?
From a depreciation perspective, absolutely is, and I think the negative kind of media around them over the last 2 years has definitely done damage to their resale value. So people who currently purchase them, let's say a year or two, are probably going to lose easily 50% of the value.
50% of the value. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Easily, you know. I feel sorry for those individuals because, like, there's a lot of misinformation that's kind of costing them dearly. But unfortunately, you have it now. So
But it was never this idea that we were all going to move to electric cars was never going to happen. Because what happens if you live in an apartment block or a terraced house? Where are you going to charge it? Nobody wants that inconvenience, as you rightly said. That's fine if you have your own private house and you can put in your own charger and charge it overnight. You know what I mean? But not everybody has that convenience.
Absolutely. And even just from, I think somebody already brought up the point, but just from the grid's ability to handle the load, like, just think about how everybody would be charging at the same time at night.
At night, yeah.
So there'd be this massive surge, this massive suffering.
We would never, ever. I spoke to a guy who worked for the ESB networks there a while ago, and he said,
it's never going to happen.
He said, it's never going to happen.
It never work. And then even from a logistical perspective, like, when you look at globally, the whole idea of making the combustion engine redundant. I remember reading a study previously on this where he said there's not enough lithium and cobalt on planet Earth to transition away from combustion engines.
Yeah, so the future could be an electric car, but it won't be powered by the current lithium-ion batteries that we currently have at the moment.
Well, I think the future isn't really in private car ownership. I think that will be a thing of the past. I think in the next 20 years' time, I think everyone's going to have, not everyone, but most people will have a kind of membership to these kind of rental fleets, and all the cars be self-drive, so you'll just book your appointment of when you need the car.
And it'll arrive at your door with no driver?
With no driver, you don't have to get the complications of insurance, of maintenance, you don't park
but
in it somewhere.
Would you, yeah, but would you not miss that?
Do you know what? Possibly not, now, because like a lot of it is a headache. Okay.
Well, stay there. Let me go to Shannon as well. Shannon, hi. How are you?
Hiya.
Now, you're kind of fan of the electric cars.
I am, but I think I completely emphasise with that. It's only, I am only work my specific situation because
are you on a speakerphone, Shannon? Because it's kind of hard to hear you. Can you pick up the phone? Thanks.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It only works for me because we have a charger installed at the house.
Your charger is installed at your house, is it? Sorry?
Yeah, so I can see how that only works for me because I have that luxury.
Yeah. But I mean, if you lived in an apartment or a terraced house, you wouldn't have that luxury.
Okay. So yeah. I think...
And what sort of car do you have, by the way? What model of electric car have you got?
It's just a Toyota.
Okay. And... How's it working out for you? All right.
I have a charger in college as well, so the two options there for me.
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get her to give you a quick call back because wherever you are, maybe you could run up the stairs or something, Shannon. Wherever you are, the line is where you're at. Ross, hi. How are you?
Good evening, Niall. How are you getting on?
Good. Ross, you've been listening to James. I'll come back to Shannon in a minute. She's a bit of a fan of electric cars, but unfortunately, she's in a bad signal area, so I couldn't really hear her very well. Are you a fan?
Electric cars, full electric, no. Hybrids, yes.
Okay, so a bit of both. Best of both worlds.
Hybrids, you can't beat them. Hybrids are around... I tell you why I'm going to hybrids. A friend of mine had a Honda Civic, 98 Honda Civic, that was a hybrid years ago. And it was out of this, it was a Jap import. Out of this world.
Mm.
Hybrids I can get behind all day long. Electric, full electric, no.
No.
My brother has a full electric car, 241. He got it at the start of the year, and he's trying to trade it in.
Oh, he's already trying to get rid of it.
What, 6 months? Not even 6 months old.
And why does he want to get rid of it?
Whenever he's charging it at home, his power, like his. It kills the power in the house.
Oh, right,
the
okay.
The electric shower is going and the kettle is going. That's it. Everything dies.
Right.
Okay, now that could be a problem with his charger now, but the house is only 15 years old, so I wouldn't say...
Yeah. So in other words, there's too much of a drain on the system, yeah.
So much so that in order to charge his car, he's actually driving away from his house into Waterford City to charge it.
That's silly,
and
yeah.
It's like, no one wants it. No one wants to take it as a trade-in.
No. Well, I've already spoken to a couple of garages. And I spoke to Nadia from Ashford Motors here last week, or the week before, where she was on the air with us. And she's reluctant and doesn't take trade-ins of electric cars.
Yeah, and an ex-boss of mine has an electric BMW. It's
IX.
The X5, but it's the 5 litre, but it's not a 5 litre.
It's the bigger battery, yeah. Yeah.
It has a 5.0 on the back of it, but it's electric. And he got an email saying that he's not allowed to park it in his garage or shed because he won't be covered by insurance because of fire hazard.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
And every BMW electric car owner got this. They get fellas who are hardcore electric will deny it, but... He has no problem admitting I got sold a lemon, but he has one of these X5s and he cannot park it in his carport because if it goes on fire, the house burns down.
He's not insured.
BMW have said we're not insuring your car yet.
Oh, BMW won't insure it or his house insurance won't insure it. Which is it?
No, BMW. BMW, the car and the house insurance. None of it is covered.
But if the car goes on fire due to a malfunction of the car, I'm sure it has to be covered by BMW under warranty.
No,
if it's only new.
They sent out the email saying, they'll cover the car, but if your house gets damaged, they won't cover the house.
Ah, well, yeah, I know that. Yeah, that's your house insurance. We'll have to cover that.
but they sent an email out and...
If there's a problem, now I don't know, obviously, because I'm not working for BMW, but if there's a problem that's causing or there's a risk of them going on fire, well, then they should be recalled, I imagine. If it's
they
a recall.
Be recalled,
there should be a recall for whatever the problem is that's creating that.
It's every single electric car out there. There's the fire hazard, just like there's the fire hazard of a combustion car, but combustion cars very rarely go on
fire. Well, the difference when a combustion car goes on fire is the petrol is in the back and the engine's in the front. So, equally as dangerous as the whole car goes on fire and then the petrol or the diesel catches fire. Well, less likely the diesel, but certainly the petrol. But with an electric car, the battery is underneath and the fires are quite dramatic.
And they can't be put out, exactly.
It's very difficult to put them out. I mean, James, have you seen some of the videos of the cars going on fire? It is quite dramatic.
And I believe that they're not really the easiest to put out. You just have to allow them to burn themselves out. So, you could argue from a public safety perspective that
you can't.
I can't really understand how they would even allow them to roll in the first place if that's the case. If the fire brigade
I don't want to start the scaremongering because just like a petrol car or diesel car going on fire, it is quite rare for an electric car to go on fire. Right? I mean, it does rarely happen. If you take into consideration the amount of cars that are on the road paired with the amount of cars that have gone on fire, it is quite rare for it to happen. But when it does happen, as I said already, it is quite dramatic.
I've seen a video and whatever's in fire extinguishers, CO2 fire extinguishers, whatever the battery is in the batteries, it's
lithium ion,
the fire. So any extinguishers that are there, it actually feeds the fire. It's bizarre. There's no stopping it.
Similar to when an electric scooter catches fire, isn't it?
I saw a video the other night of an electric motorbike catching fire, and my God, it was like a fireworks display. It was incredible.
My uncle has a couple of properties.
Sorry, James?
I said my uncle has a couple of properties and one of his tenants, his electric scooter, went on fire and burned the house down to the ground.
Oh, Jesus.
Charging overnight.
Right,
burned
okay.
the whole house down.
Yeah.
So, they are definitely a hazard.
It wouldn't be my cup of tea. Anyway, so Ross, you won't be buying one. That's
And as well, the infrastructure is not there, but it's impossible. No guarantee.
So what's the future, Ross? What do you predict is the future?
Hydrogen. I've seen a couple of videos there about hydrogen.
Toyota are really embracing the hydrogen engine. So I think their first production kind of car, saloon car, is out at the end of this year. And they're focusing very much. They've stopped doing electric, as far as I know. And they're focusing very much now on hydrogen cars.
Yeah, and you know what? Unfortunately, it was electric cars were pushed on people in the last 5 years, and now they're failing. They're all right, we have to go somewhere else. But it's then you have people that jump on the latest fad, and there's a lot of people, and they're just
I don't want to be too bad. I'm sure there are people listening tonight who have an electric car have had a good experience. And they are cheaper. Ross, there's no doubt they're cheaper to operate than a fossil fuel car.
But they're not. You buy a 7-year-old electric car, Niall. Okay, cheaper to operate, yeah. And about the maintenance and the servicing and that, yeah. Okay, no point in getting as empty deals. But you get someone with a 7-year-old electric car that wants to resell it.
You won't sell it. Not 7 years of age.
Someone that wants to sell a 7-year-old 5 Series. 5 Series, you'd be gone in the morning. The electric car, not a whole.
It's a fair point, James. You know what I mean? If you have a 5 Series BMW and it's 7 years old, it's holding its value quite well. You'll sell it very quickly. If you have a 7-year-old, I don't know, electric car, you know, Tesla or whatever, I think you'll have trouble selling it.
Yeah, but that's just because the negative press that they've received now.
It's nothing to do with the negative press, James. It's to do with the fact that the battery will need to be replaced soon.
Hold on. You could go out and purchase a BMW X5 M-Power, right? Top of the range BMW, right? And let's say you get 6 months warranty on it, if you're lucky. And then on the 7th month, the engine could blow. And then you have probably the 7,000 to 8,000 euro repair bill for a new engine. But for some reason, that same risk comes with a combustion engine of a top of the range car. But yet when it's a battery, it's just, oh my God, you might have to replace the battery. But sure, you might have to replace the fucking engine. It's a like-for-like comparison.
No, it's not a like-for-like comparison, because when the battery goes, right? Like, I heard this one, as I said, on the radio, and only one cell was gone on the battery, and I've seen some of these videos online as well. Only one, you know, they're made up of little AA batteries, right? That's what it is. Stacks of thousands of little AA batteries connected together in one big cell, right? So even one cell goes, the whole thing has to be replaced, right? And it's like, I don't know, 7 to 15 grand, depending on the car, right? And depending on the size of the battery. Whereas if you have a new car and it's a combustion engine and you're out of warranty, and, you know, okay, let's say the head gasket goes, or one of the pistons go, or something goes, you're not going to be into 7 grand. You might have to pay a grand to get that bit fixed, that part fixed.
So let's say, okay, so a Ford Fiesta, right? The Ford Fiesta and the EcoBoost engine, they use a wet timer belt, it's called, okay? So the timer belt degrades and eventually snaps, and because it's an interface engine, the pistons kiss the top of the engine.
The head.
Destroy the whole engine.
Yeah, but that's rare. They're rare situations.
No, that's not rare at all. No, that's ignorance on your behalf.
Yeah, but if you service your car regularly and get your timing belt changed at 80,000 miles, be it a belt driven or a chain, and you get it replaced, it should go.
Well, a chain's supposed to be for life now.
Yeah, here's the thing. I have never, ever, and I am driving 35, 40 years, I have never had a timing belt or chain go. I shouldn't say that it'll happen in the morning, though. I've never had
With a chain, typically they stretch, and so does slack, and then it will throw your timing out. But like a timing chain is a far more reliable unit than a belt. A belt snaps and sends the whole engine. I just think you're scaremongering oil, and I really don't think you're thinking about it in a logical sense. Like combustion engines are massively prone to failure.
Well, no, I know. I'm not saying, and there's more things that can go wrong with a combustion engine.
There's a lot of timing belts that snap, and there's a non-interference engine. You can snap a timing belt, and the pistons don't go near the valve. There's a lot. And that's another thing as well. A lot of people panic about timing belts.
No, Ross, you're right. People are right to panic about timing belts. in most occasions, when a timing belt goes, the engine is knackered.
A timing belt snaps, Hold on. If a timer belt snaps, the engine's gone. It's as simple as that. 2 seconds gone. It's catastrophic engine failure.
He's right, because the timing all goes off, the pistons go up, they hit the head, they hit the valves. You know, I know somebody who it happened to only recently, and every single valve was bent in the engine. Stay there. Let me go to Billy as well. Billy, hi, how are you?
Hello, Nine. How are you keeping?
Good, Billy. I've only got about 5 minutes on this, but the electric car, the current model of electric cars, do you think that's the future?
Well, Niall, I sent in a question to you. If you went back 120 or 130 years, you think the fellas with horses and carts were looking at the new drivers going, Jesus, those guys must have savage range anxiety. There's no infrastructure or petrol stations around the place. My horse only needs grass to run.
By the way, I was the one who said that earlier on. I'm sure there was a resistance from moving from the steam engine to the fossil fuel engine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like this is where we are. And Niall, I hate to say it to you, your information with Toyota is out of date. They've already introduced the saloon. The big problem with the hydrogen is it's difficult to produce hydrogen. Even though it's the most abundant element in the universe, it's difficult to produce it. The only way that it can produce it at the moment is as a byproduct of the fossil fuel industry, or they can do what's called green hydrogen. But they need a lot of renewable energy going into that green hydrogen to make it work. Mm. So one of the things that they're researching at the moment is ammonia-based engines, which again is something that is very, very abundant.
But that would be smelly, wouldn't it? Ammonia has a bad smell off it.
Well, if it means you can keep your combustion engine with ammonia going on the road, is it a price worth paying? I was on the continent last year, and I with a buddy of mine who was a Tesla Model Y, and we drove about 3,000 kilometers over a couple of days in the Tesla Model Y through Germany, through the Netherlands. It was grand. The only thing is you do need to plan your journey. So you need to, at least with Teslas, they tell you where the charging stops are. It does the calculation for you in the background. It says, you will need to stop here for 30 minutes to get a top-up charge to make it your next destination. So it's an adjust in the way you drive. It's different.
And that's all well and good driving across Europe. Drive across Ireland and see how that works out for you.
Well, this is the thing. And as the Greens, I've got a bugbear against the Greens, but as they have said, they want to put, I think it's charging infrastructure every 50 kilometres on motorways.
But let me ask you a question, Billy. You know, okay, that'll be great. Let's say they put new chargers all over in every garage, every stop off, all over Ireland, and we spend, I don't know, a couple of hundred million on a whole infrastructure of chargers, right? And then in 5 years, we say, this kind of model of electric car takes too long to charge. Those type of batteries are out of date. We now have, you know, I don't know, atomic cell batteries or whatever. This is what they're patenting in Korea at the moment, right? They can charge it up in 90 seconds with laser light or something like that. Anyway, that's probably the future, isn't it? So, and then we've just wasted a load of money on these epoxy chargers.
Your laser light, Niall, is still going to need a transformer nearby for the energy for the laser to be pushed to the end point. So anything that they do in terms of putting base stations and transformers around the country that will increase the capacity of electricity on the network will be beneficial in the long term. The technology changes. Look at your mobile phone, Niall. Are you an iPhone user or an Android?
I am an iPhone user, yeah.
You're an iPhone user. Look back to when, so you had your iPhone 1 up to, I think it was 6, that had the original charging port on it, and then they changed to the Lightning port. Look at all the Android users, or if we go back to our, you know, go back to the days of Nokia, the charging port has changed.
Yeah, well, it's a C charger now. It's the same as a Samsung now.
Yeah, USB-C charger.
Yeah.
But it's changed every couple of years now. The charging infrastructure, the charging port has changed. But like, we've adapted to it. And things will change as it goes along. Like, we will... Like this is new technology.
But we are seeing a huge problem at the moment that people who are buying them sadly are losing their value very quickly. And we're seeing garages not wanting to take them as trade-ins. There's a problem in the market. We're seeing a slump in sales this year of electric cars compared to last year and the year before. So there's a problem.
If you look at the way people buy into things, Niall, over time, you have your early adopters. You have your, when things go mainstream then. So we're at this gap between the early adopters, the people that bought the original Tesla Model S's and the Model 3's and the Model Y's and whatever else. They bought them and they're holding them. You have the next batch of people coming into the market that are buying new, thinking that this is going to be a new thing. And, you know, things aren't picking up as quickly as they thought it was going to. Someone made a comment earlier on that there's not enough lithium or cobalt in the planet
James said that, yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and he's probably right. Now, you know, I don't know. I've heard that they can make lithium from seawater, for example. So there might be a chance of making enough lithium eventually, but how long it takes to process all that's another thing. And as you said, the grid is going electric. We're taking the coal and the gas out of the grid slowly, but in the next probably, you know, 40 years. It will be an electric grid. It will be a renewable grid.
Okay, James, do you want to make a quick comment just before I finish this up? Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I think a scaremongering about the battery replacement. And the only thing I haven't heard you mention is eventually there will be a single cell battery replacement options that will come about. It costs about 1,000 to 1,500 euros.
What about my prediction? Do you not agree with my prediction that eventually we won't be using lithium ion batteries? That it may be a single cell nuclear battery or atomic cell of some description?
Yeah, no, I think electric batteries will be one of many options. I just think the government have failed in trying to push people towards electric. And like you said, the technology is moving along. So these electric batteries will be redundant in 10 years. I kind of think.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.